Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
So, you'd like to believe in God, but you keep hearing words like saved and born again. If you're a seeking skeptic, you may be wondering what these words mean. However, you may also be interested to know that Christians themselves continue to have many questions about this very subject. Here's a question that I receive quite often. Can one who is saved, who has received Christ, ever lose this relationship with God? Many church denominations teach that you can lose it. Many teach that you cannot. This doesn't mean the Bible contradicts itself. It just means that often in the Bible, we see verses which, upon first glance, seem to be in tension with each other. However, upon closer examination, we discover that there really is no contradiction at all. And so I will unpack this very interesting subject today. Welcome to our sanctuary, a sanctuary for skeptics and doubters, even doubters within the church, doubters who feel that their honest questions are answered far too infrequently. Can one who is saved, who has received Christ, ever lose this relationship with God? My friend, part of the confusion, as I alluded to, is that upon first glance, certain scriptures seem to be contradicting other scriptures. Eternal security is a popular phrase given to the belief that after you have asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, and after you have received the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, into your heart to change you, to help you to overcome your sin, at that time you enter into a personal relationship with God that can never be severed. Some people will say, it's just like putting a stake in the ground. It's just like marking the calendar on this day, at this time, at this hour, at this minute, at this second. I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and now no matter what I do, nothing can change that because I belong to Him. Of course, sometimes they don't emphasize the fact that if the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, there's supposed to have been some kind of change. But everybody under this camp will at least agree that once we have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, we cannot lose it. It's just a given now that on the day we die, whenever that day happens to be, we will end up in heaven and will be in heaven for all of eternity. Now, there are some very comforting Bible verses that would seem to support this view. One of them is John chapter 10, verses 27 through 29. This is Jesus talking. A couple of weeks ago on this program, I talked about how God compares human beings to sheep. Well, here's one of the places where Jesus is portraying himself as the good shepherd and comparing us to sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, those are two key phrases. I give them eternal life. Eternal means something that's not going to end. And just in case you need some elaboration, he gives it to you. And they shall never perish. What does it mean to have eternal life? What does the word eternal mean as far as a relationship with God goes? It means, according to Jesus, just exactly what we would expect it to mean, that we shall never perish. Jesus continues, no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. And then John 5:24. This is also Jesus talking. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. Notice the past tense, has eternal life, has crossed over from death to life. Eternal life is defined in the Bible as a relationship which begins with God now and continues for all of eternity. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church of Ephesus, to Christians. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So obviously, Paul's not assuming that these people became perfect and sinless, but he's telling them that if they sin, or even if their thoughts are sinful, the Holy Spirit who lives inside grieves. One of the signs that the Holy Spirit is living inside of us is we have a magnified conscience. I always had a conscience, as everybody has a conscience. Well, not everybody. If there's a psychopath or sociopath, perhaps their conscience has been seared. But as a general rule, all human beings that have reached a certain age, young adults, adults, kids at certain ages would be included in there too. We all have a conscience. And yet when one becomes a Christian, that conscience magnifies because the Spirit of God is inside of us, especially hurt when we sin. But they're using an interesting word here, sealed for the day of redemption. What is the day of redemption? That is the day that you go into heaven. That is the day that Jesus returns to take you into heaven, or you die, in which case your next conscious moment is being resurrected into heaven, leaving time, leaving space, leaving history, going into eternity. So the return of Christ or your death, whichever comes first, they're more or less accomplishing the same thing because you will be with him. That is the day of redemption when we are going to be put under God's ownership completely. Now, we're already put under his ownership in this life if we've given our lives to him, but that's where we see it to full fruition. That's where we resurrect from the dead. That's where our sin natures are completely eradicated. That's where we're made perfect and spotless and just like him. The day of redemption, in the sense that Christ's death on the cross that paid for our sins, redeemed us, just like money in the Old Testament days could redeem somebody and release them and bring them under somebody else's care. Now, the other word used here is seal. That was a Roman word used for Roman documents. When a Roman seal was put upon something, it was a mark of legality. It was against the law to break a Roman seal. A Roman seal broken can result in death. And so by saying that the Holy Spirit has sealed us, Paul is clearly telling us that this is a permanent relationship with the Holy Spirit. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit until when? The day of redemption, when eternity just continues for us. So far, not so bad. Sounds great. Sounds terrific. Sounds fantastic. Well, I hate to be the bearer of sad tidings, especially as we get closer to the Christmas season and we want to be the bearer of glad tidings. But since we are here to study the Bible thoroughly, since part of being thorough is looking at everything it has to say on a subject, I must tell you that there are other verses which seem to say the opposite. I just read some verses which seem to say that once you're in a relationship with God, no matter what you do, you cannot lose that. But now I'm going to read you some verses which seem to say that actually there's a good deal you could do to lose it. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. And so here, they're talking about somebody who is a partaker of this Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that we talked about a moment ago sealing us, and yet they're saying that if somebody goes back and returns to their life of sin after they've received the Holy Spirit, that there's no coming back to the Holy Spirit again. At least that's what it sure seems to be saying. 2 Peter is also devastating, but it's in the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. The Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit. And then check out Matthew chapter 10, 22, where Jesus is predicting persecution for those who give their lives to him. He says, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Well, I thought we already were saved. But now he's talking about needing to stand firm. I thought there was nothing we could do to lose this. Well, I told you there would be a tension. How do most Christians and pastors and denominations deal with this tension? Oh, it's quite simple, really. They cherry-pick the verses they like and ignore the verses they don't like, or perhaps not exactly verses they don't like, just verses that go against the theological systems they were first taught and have gotten used to. Have you ever worked on a jigsaw puzzle and there's just this one piece that you can't find? It's driving you crazy. You filled in so many others and all of a sudden you spot a piece and the different colors seem to match up to the borders, alleged borders that would be around it. And it seems the right size and it seems the right shape. And you're just ecstatic because you finally found it and it doesn't go in. What happens? You're in denial for a while. You keep trying it. You knew the second it didn't go in that it didn't really go in. I mean, who are we kidding? But how many times have you tried it after that? How many times have I tried it after that? I'll be honest, I've done this a lot. Or you've heard of the phrase, trying to fit a square peg in a round hole. That's what Christians often do with theologies. They get comfortable with different theological systems. And then when they find a verse that doesn't fit in, they find a way to make it fit, sometimes by some crazy explanation that doesn't really sell, but we tell ourselves what we want to tell ourselves. Having said that, there is a reconciliation, a good reconciliation. I will show you how both sets of verses are speaking the truth. I will show you how neither can be brushed aside. I will show you how not one of these verses contradicts the other. And I will show you this tomorrow on tomorrow's podcast. Yeah, always leave them wanting more. Okay, I know everybody hates me right now. I'll tell you what, I don't want anybody going to sleep tonight frightened because they aren't saved. So let me offer a little clue, something to chew on, something to comfort you in the meantime. If you are a dedicated Christian and you're worried right now that you're not really saved, as a general rule, people who aren't saved don't spend time worrying about whether they're saved, okay? I do enjoy the drama of suspense, but not at the expense of contributing to the disrupted peace of an earnest soul. So be comforted. Be of good cheer. Hey, that sounded kind of Christmas-like too. Be of good cheer. Don't spend the night worrying. By all means, spend the night praying. Spend some time thinking. And I will see you for tomorrow's conclusion. This is Bob Siegel, making part of the obvious obvious and promising to make all of the obvious obvious tomorrow.
Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.